Blog Talk Radio.
We shall exalt him for
要是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，哈。什么呀是完了哎呀阿拉哈呀那哇哈呀什么要是完了哎呀阿拉哈呀那哇
Shalom, shalom, family, and welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's First Women's Show, designed with you in mind. I'm your host, this is Sister Shirley, and Sister Carol, are you there?
I'm here. Shalom, family.
Shalom, shalom. All right, the first two musical interludes were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15, in its entirety. And our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. All right, so let me just get right to it. We are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this roundtable and ask a question or make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on blogtalkradio.com, GOC Church, and you should find the episodes there. You can also go to the church's webpage and find, look under Blog Talk Programs, and you should find Restoring the Daughters of Zion. You can also reach out to us via email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. And once again, I do want to apologize to you because we certainly are behind in our email. But like I mentioned before, we will get to you. We will. And I want to say hello to all. I think I see Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie, are you there? Sister Jackie,
Shalom,
are you with
sisters.
Us? Shalom, shalom. And I think I see Sister Betty. Sister Betty, are you there?
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, shalom. Wonderful. Okay, I don't see
shalom,
Sister Aura back
Betty.
Yet.
Shalom.
I don't see Sister Aura back yet, but hopefully we will see her soon, too. But okay. And we like to have other sisters on with us. So, call in, press 1, get into the host queue, and let's talk about this thing here, you know. I want to do a little bit of a recap on what we were talking about last week, and that was keeping the commandments, which is so critical, especially in this time. I mean, we call the show, I think, Are There Too Many Commandments? Because when we're ministering to others, we always hear, oh, my God, there's too many commandments in the Old Testament. No one could keep them, blah, blah. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before we get started, Carol, can you take us before the throne of grace and ask the Most High to be with us so that we can make sure we are on the right track and not just babbling.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we're going to talk about tonight is faith. And I'm going to go to that very familiar verse, Hebrews 11:1, that says, now faith
okay,
is
hold on. Somebody's got something playing in the background.
It's gotta be something playing.
Yeah, like a television or something.
That's my husband. And hold on for just 1 second.
I told you he's always creeping. Always. Are you there? Okay, so at any rate, how's everybody been? Betty, good?
Oh, I'm good. I can't complain.
Good. Sister Jackie,
okay.
How about
you?
Doing great.
Good.
How about
good.
Yourself?
Listen. I'm so grateful to be on the surface of the air. You know, I'm just grateful. When I wake up in the morning and, you know, that my favorite thought, and I'm going to ask you to come in with it in a second, Carol, is I think it's Psalms 139:13. And I just want to just go there for a minute, if you don't mind, because it just thrills my soul to think about it. The word of God is so beautiful. And I think it says, of course not. That's all right. That's 46, sorry.
How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Is that it?
No, ma'am.
That's not it.
Okay, I'm messing up.
Did you
that's
say
all
Psalms 31 or
139? 139. I think it's
139. Okay.
Give me a second here. I just want to read that right quick.
I have it, Sister Shirley.
All right, go for it, Sister Jackie.
I don't know if that's it or not, but nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's
Psalms
not
139
it.
And 13. It says, for you formed my inward part. You covered me in my womb.
Mm-mm.
That's 139:13.
Okay, I got it. Y'all ain't nobody, y'all.
Yay.
if I should count them, I'm going to start at 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Most High. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful thought that is. That when I wake up in the morning and I open my eyes, I can say I'm still with the Most High. I'm still with him because, you know, sometimes your thoughts could be somewhere else. Maybe you're not thinking about him, but I am so grateful that I am still with the Most High. But all right, Carol.
Yes.
Take it away.
Okay.
Are you there, Carol?
I am there. I want to read also what Sister Jackie had, because Psalms 139:13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully wonderfully made.
Look at that.
my soul knoweth right well.
Yeah.
Praise
Him. We love you, Lord. We love you.
You know, it seems like you can turn almost anywhere in the scriptures and find words of encouragement to keep on fighting. Because, you know, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser. And you know how many times he comes and says, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You might as well give up. and just go on and give in to the spin. But, you know, we're going to talk too tonight about faith, and I do want to read that faithful scripture that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, which is Hebrews 11 and 1, the evidence of things not seen. That was one of the first verses that I actually learned by heart when I first came to know the Lord, because I hate to say it, but Frederick K. Price was doing a study on it, and I was watching him, and he said that thing over and over and over again till that was drilled in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you were there too, huh? And so we know what faith is, don't we? And we must have our faith secure and anchored in the Most High these days, because this is the beginning of woes.
Mm-hmm.
As the song says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Boom, 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 baby. You ain't seen nothing yet. And I'll
That's
go
right.
into the world before I turn into, go back to my high school days and start singing crazy songs. Okay. Eternal Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we give you praise. Father, as the songwriter says, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough, Father. We want to lift your name tonight high as we can raise it. And then we want to raise it
higher.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for our right mind that we have today, Lord. We thank you for covering us and rescuing us, Father, protecting our loved ones from this so-called pestilence that's roaming the earth, Father. Big or fraud, whatever it is, man-made, organically made, whatever. This mutation, Delta Force, whatever, Father. We're asking you to wrap your arms around us, put your angels to encamp around us and protect us, Lord.
Yes.
And to remove the doubt and the fear that grips us sometimes as we see 1,000 fall and 10,000 at our feet, Father.
Yes.
However, tonight we're going to turn this program over to you, Lord, as we ladies humbly come before you, asking you for direction, guidance, and encouragement, Father.
Yes.
Lord, we love you. We love you, and we'll continue to praise your name. Give us the strength to continue to do thy will.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we do, whether it's in food or drink, meat or drink, that we do all things to the glory of the Most High, we pray.
Amen.
Heal our loved one, anyone that's out there listening, Father, anyone that would love to listen, and those that don't know to listen, we're asking you to bless them. You said you reign on the just and the unjust, Father. And that's how you want us to pray. Pray for the just and pray for the unjust, Father. We thank you and we praise you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I just want to bring out that there were a couple of people online when we hung up last week. And one of the sisters said she was so sad that she couldn't get in. But what she said was pivotal, and we'll probably hear from her later tonight. Sister Diane, and she said, hang on, let me see if I can find what she said. She said, you know how I just started off talking about how everybody's always talking about, it's too many commandments, you know, come on, get over it. Well, she said, isn't saying there are too many commandments the same thing as saying, Holy Father, I'm taking you and your word for granted. When did we ever hear anyone say, Most High, why did you give me too many clothes? Most High, why did you give me too much money? Too much money. Most High, why did you give me too much food? I might have to have asked that question, though, you know. But anyway, says we really need to get a mindset whereby we more fully appreciate the Most High giving us all those commandments. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I just said,
yeah.
I just wanted to read that. I was going to have her come on and read, but I want to move on tonight. But to just know that, it's amazing. It's amazing because we are about to enter perilous times, hard to deal with, perilous. And in this particular environment, we need to know where is your faith at?
Yes.
Now, maybe not just asking, do you have faith? But what level of faith do you have? Because we're going to need a lot of faith. We're going to need, because when we read Matthew, let me just get Matthew 24 real quick. When we read Matthew 24, when Christ starts talking about what's about to happen to us, see if I can find that real quick. I can start right here, and it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, except those days would be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Nobody left on earth. So we're looking at this pandemic and how people are falling by. What did Christ say? Except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh to be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So we need to make sure we're part of that elect. We need to make sure of our faith. Otherwise, even if we are taken off this earth, we know, tells us, that there is a resurrection, that we have eternal life, right? So I just want to go there. And I want to say, you know, we were looking for something to read about faith. We were looking, you know, trying to find something that would give us some idea, you know, to get us started. And so, Carol, I want you to start out with Genesis. I think it's chapter 6 and start at 1.
Absolutely. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that.
Hang on. You know, it's funny because when you read that it says his days shall be 120 years. I believe that's about the time that Noah took to build the ark and how long he had. But go ahead. Let's just move on and see if we can go there. Go ahead.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown.
Okay.
And God...
Hang on, Carol, because, you know, we're talking about the scripture, we just read that Christ said, he said there were going to be things worse than this. Things that never have been on the earth. So look out. But go ahead, read on.
Okay. And I just want to add on one thing, that one of the renditions of the scriptures, because on Friday night we have Bible studies, and we also read from the Living Translation for the children, just so that we can have something that breaks it down. Now, lately we've been doing the English Standard Version because the Living Translation is too, what do you call it,
powerful.
But they did say something that I liked. And when they said the men of renown, they explained it, that if this is what legends, like the Marvel cartoons, are made of. This is those people, those giants that they're talking about when they make up those stories. And these people are not so creative. They just go to the Bible and pull up the story.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay. All righty. And I did want to tell you one more thing about Methuselah. Methuselah's name was, I believe, he lived the longest. And his name was saying that when Noah was born, Noah's was declaring when the end was his name. I'll go back to that when I have it written.
Yeah, you mapped it up.
It's very interesting.
Sounds interesting.
Okay. And the Most High saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Can we thank God for grace? Can we thank the Most High for grace right now? That Noah found grace, and we need to find grace while we're looking for our faith, okay? That the Most High would find us and give us that grace, because don't we need it, guys? Don't we need that grace? That grace?
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
She needs to find it in us.
This is what I'm saying. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. We need that grace, Lord. And this is such a good description of what grace is. Noah found more. Noah got more time, like a grace period than everyone else. These are the generations of Noah.
Well, let me say this too, that even though his feet were made out of clay, he found him to be righteous. You know what I'm saying? Within that grace covered him, okay? And go ahead, Carol.
Okay. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons.
So hang on. I just want to throw it out there that it says Noah walked with the Most High God. And see, and that's what we got to do. If we want grace, let's walk with the Most High God and to build our faith. But go ahead.
Okay. And also that he was upright. He was perfect in his generations. Means, and you may be bringing that out in a minute, but that his generation was the one generation genes that had not been corrupted by.
It's amazing.
Nephilim.
Amazing. Yes.
And Noah begot.
Okay. That's a good thought, Carol. Go ahead.
And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, And God,
isn't that about
that
where? Isn't that about where we are right now? The filled with violence and nothing but corruption. And see, you know, violence is not just I'm hitting you, you're hitting me. Although there's wars all over the earth, violence, corruption, fornication, homosexuality, all these things that are happening. Tell me how violent it is when someone goes and molests your child. That's violence, you know. What kind of violence is it when you hear all the filth that's coming through? I've been noticing, and I don't live in the city. I live in, I guess it's not I guess it's considered the suburbs. I don't know. But I'm laying in my bed at all hours of the night, and I hear people up yelling out in the street, coming down the street. It's like, what is happening? That these people are not going to bed. It's like, do we have to have a hurricane, you know, to come through to make people go in the house? It's like, this whole world is changed. Yes, exactly. 3 a.m, I hear noise outside my window. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And people fighting, yelling, and screaming. The earth is filled with violence. And we're just showing the comparison
like
to where we are right now. And see, what we're trying to show here, too, is through all this, let's check out Noah's faith. But go ahead, Carol.
I love it. And so it said the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Did you say something?
Yeah, he said, I will destroy them with the earth, right?
Yeah.
We just heard a nor'easter is coming our way tonight, okay?
Oh, what?
We didn't hear about it, a nor'easter. We just heard about it today. And that for the next three days, they're telling us to watch for power outages, that there's going to be power outages and all this stuff. And it's scary because you're hearing all these things that are happening, and it's not happening like every now and then. It's back to back. It's back to back because the contractions are getting more and more intense. You know, the birth pangs, the birth pangs of distress of this world going into great tribulation. And this is why, if we don't have our faith intact, look out. Okay? Go ahead, Carol.
When they said that, did they say it's coming up the East Coast, or it's just going to hit the New York tri-state area?
I thought it was coming through South Carolina, but I don't know. We're getting it, I think, starting tonight.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to get some rain.
Yeah. They said all kinds of flash floods. But, you know, this is what I'm saying, that the Most High is going to destroy the earth with the earth. You know, these things that are happening, look out. But go ahead.
Yeah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height. Just a second. And the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold,
okay, hold up.
Hold up,
Carol. All right, so you got all these things that the Most High is telling Noah to do. Now, From what we understand, there was never any rain upon the earth prior to this time. Imagine if Noah had not obeyed his commandments. Imagine if he hadn't put that window up high so he could see when the water had subsided and when to check out things. Imagine he needed some powerful faith to do the things and to do them the way the Most High said. And it's almost like sometimes, Carol, when we're looking at the commandments of the Most High, and I just kind of go back to that a little bit, and we decide we'll halfway obey the commandments. I guess that's why we don't have that perfect, you know, that perfection in us yet. He said, do this, we need to do it. He said, honor me on the Sabbath day, we need to do it. He said, don't do any work on the Sabbath. Yeah, we should not be asking the Most High why, because that's to challenge our faith. Where is our faith? Is our faith strong enough to do what the Most High told us to do the way he said do it? But go ahead, Carol.
Precision.
Absolutely.
I mean, with such precision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's not much more, but go ahead.
I would like to imagine Noah building the ark, and people are looking at him. This man is building this ark for all these years, and they call him crazy. Imagine what they were saying about him.
And
it's the same thing that just like in the days of Noah, people are looking at us and calling us crazy. For keeping the commandments. Bible scriptures all the time, out on the corner, preaching the word, telling the truth.
That's the truth.
Right. With those long fringes on it for what? You know, people are looking at you and saying these things and making you feel uncomfortable.
And we don't want to take the shot. We're crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
What's worrying me about this shot thing is,
now, I can't challenge anybody about their faith because you know what? Until your feet are in those shoes, until you're in the spot, you don't know what you might do. You just don't know. And if you don't have enough faith to keep yourself girded, you know, really, really strengthen yourself, you are going to fall. You're going to fall.
That's the test.
And great may be the fall of it. Great. And so it's almost like I'm saying, if we do something, there's no going back. When we looked at Adam and Eve, when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit, how small did that seem? For real, when you guys read about Adam and Eve, didn't it seem somewhat unfair that they got kicked out of the garden because they just ate a piece of fruit? Didn't it seem like what's up with that?
Simple, but they disobeyed.
It seemed like it was something simple, but it plunged the entire creation into sin. But we don't
see. They didn't play the game right.
And
we don't see. And I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but it's almost like when we have this choice to either get COVID or get the vaccine, well, which is worse? You know what I'm saying? It's like when you think about sometimes we've read in that book, Murder by Injection, that these vaccines are putting latent disease in your body. It's not going to happen now, but later. So now if you're reading things like that and then you're hearing things like, oh, my goodness, if you get the disease and you don't have the shot, you're going to nine out of 10 times you're going to die. If you don't die from the disease, you're going to die from some latent, some the residuals from it. This stuff scares the crap out of everybody, you know?
Yeah. And especially,
say again, sis?
Even as, you know, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, even as believers, I think it's so important that we just keep repeating that word back to ourselves until we can believe it. And once we believe it,
Amen.
It's kind of manifest. We have to say it over and over and over again. And that seems crazy, but it takes that and more.
Yeah.
That's right. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. We have to keep on hearing it.
So.
You're going to have to gird up your loins right now.
Yep.
This is the time where you can be that strong black, Latino, white, or whatever you are, a follower of Christ woman. You're going to have to strengthen your faith, because if you don't have enough strength, you don't have enough faith, I'm not sure I would have been building that ark if enough people talked about you. I remember when I was doing my house over, and oh my goodness, my whole family thought I had lost my mind, because after my first husband passed away, I needed the whole house to change, because I couldn't stay in here and keep looking at it and knowing how it was. I never told anybody that, but that was, I ripped out every wall, moved windows, everything, and there's not a wall in here that looks the same in my house, because I just needed that change. And it took me 5 years to get this house under control, because I had contractor nightmares. But the thing about it was, I had to stay the course, listening to everybody saying, Shirley has lost her mind. She and Whitney and tore the house up. Did you go in there? Because, I mean, there were days when it was raining in my house. There were days when, you know, it didn't make any sense what was going on in here, because no one could see what I was doing. But when I finished the house, it was absolutely beautiful. It was beautiful. And then the same people that said to me I was crazy came and asked me to do theirs. Okay, but nonetheless, what I'm only bringing that out because Noah had to have stronger faith than that, with the whole world tearing him down. Tearing him down.
That's right.
We're going to have to build up that kind of faith in a worse situation, because the scripture said it's going to be worse than it was in the days of Noah. Go ahead, Carol. Keep reading.
And I wanted to say this, that, of course, like you said, we ain't seen nothing yet, but when World War II was going on, one of the famous sayings when people would do things that were unnecessary, let's say, they'd all say to each other, don't you know, man, there's a war going on? It's like, we need to understand there's a war going on. And the devil, one thing he is not, he never takes vacation. We may take vacation.
He does not.
And the other thing I wanted to say was, when we were talking about people laughing at Noah, Noah wasn't building the ark near, let's say, water.
Isn't that a funny thing, too?
Come in. Yeah, and they're like, what are you building a boat all the way out here for? You know, water out here.
Isn't that hilarious?
You know, like, it's like, there will be.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw this out there before you go further, because my daughter is canning food, and it's like she's in some kind of a zone, and she's making enough food to feed Nicaragua. You know what I mean? And I keep looking at her, and I be going, well, I keep saying, well, you know, I'm waiting for the unction of the Lord. I was praying. I said, you know, Father, why is it that you haven't put that on my heart, that I'm not feeling like I got to do all these things? But guess what? The signs are everywhere.
Yeah.
The lines are everywhere. What do I need? Mm-hmm. Do I need, you know, a handwriting on the wall to come down there and tell me? I said, you know what? I got up and I got a canner and I started canning, because the last thing I wouldn't want to do is have her with her food for her babies, and I'm standing around looking hungry, and I got to take food out of their mouths because I didn't obey, because I didn't be like the ants. I saw the signs, and I didn't do anything about it. I got on it. I got on it, and I've got several things canned already. But nonetheless, I'm just saying, get your faith, you know, add to your faith virtue.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You got to add to your faith. If your faith is weak, and we're going to pull that scripture out, what we need to add onto our faith so that we can endure to the end, because that's where we're at. All right, go ahead, Carol.
Okay. And behold, so on verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female.
Okay, let's just look at that. Let's look at that for a second, because note this, that he's bringing his whole family with him.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if our family could be with us? You know, and you know, we're gonna have to build up enough faith so that our family can come along too. Because if Noah's family was outside of that ark, I think he would be hurting. You know, and we need to make sure that our family, to the best of our ability, let's get that powerful faith going, that they're gonna see us and wonder, well, what's happening to mommy? What's happening to Sister Jackie? What's happening to Carol?
Mm-hmm.
There must be something happening here, because all of a sudden they are so serious about the end of time that maybe they'll catch that flame. Go ahead, Carol.
And to verse 20, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take them unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that the Most High commanded him. So did
you. Wow.
Yeah. That's a powerful, powerful testimony of his faith. That here we go. Our faith, showing our faith, is doing what the Most High told us to do.
And yep.
That's the showing of our faith. If we're not doing, say again, sis.
I said he heard the voice of the Lord and he obeyed it. He stayed in that place of protection, it had an effect on his whole family. If we could see that, then we won't be so scared of what the devil is going to do to our families. We need to make that connection to the Most High like Noah did, you know?
Amen. Somebody looking up in my ears. Is everybody hearing it clear?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes,
we hear you.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I hear you.
Sounds like a banjo to me. I may have to call in on a different line. But go ahead, guys.
Yeah.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hang on. I
hear
you.
Yes, I can hear you.
No, I'm having trouble. Hold on. I'm gonna call in on another line just give me one second, and I think I can just call in real quick.
Yeah, It's always something with this technology.
But you guys can keep talking. You can keep talking until I can get in. So go ahead.
Okay. All righty. That made it worse.
Hang on. Is it still giving you echo?
No, Carol? I don't hear echo now. I don't hear echo now.
Okay, all right, so go ahead.
No echo.
Oh, I'm getting an echo.
Uh-oh.
Hang on. Oh, my goodness. Hello, can you hear me?
No good.
That echo is really bad. Hang that up. Try again over here. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you.
This is a little bit. All right. Okay. So I wanted, I think Sister Jackie, I sent you Jasher chapter 5, 8 through 11, unless somebody else has something to say. I want you to read that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, starting at verse 8. It says, "For thus said the Lord, behold, I give you a period of 120 years. If you will turn to me and forsake your evil ways, then will I also turn away from the evil which I told you, and it shall not exist, said the Lord." Verse 9, "And Noah and Methuselah spoke all the words of the Lord to the sons of men, day after day, constantly speaking to them. But the sons of men would not hearken to them, nor incline their ears to their words, and they were stiff-necked." And that ends
Isn't that
verse
crazy?
10.
There's one error, verse 11.
"And the Lord granted them a period of 120 years, saying, if they will return, then will God repent of all the evil so as not to destroy the earth." 120 years. Are you serious?
Amen. Now, 120 years, Noah spent building that ark. Him and Methuselah talking to the people. You know, I was talking with Elder Gabar yesterday because I was listening to some of his podcasts, and it was frustrating because, you know, he was saying that these marriages, I called him. I said, "What's going on with this, you know?" And he said, "You know, these marriages, you talk to these people till you're blue in the face. You constantly are counseling." And most of them are coming to us with things like a hangnail, you know, something that, not even something serious. You know, "I wanted to paint the house green and she didn't want me to paint it. I said I wanted, not that," you know, this kind of foolishness in this environment.
And he said,
"Sister, sermon after sermon after sermon isn't changing them. They're not hearing it. They're not." And so that's when I said, "Well, you know what? This is definitely those last days." Because they didn't hear Noah. He preached 120 years. He was out there preaching. And they didn't hear him either. You know? And that's what's happening here. No one is hearing. They are not. Didn't the scripture say it's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine? They're not going to hear it. But we just have to keep on keeping on. Keep building our faith, because people are not necessarily going to listen to us, and that includes our family. It's unfortunate.
That's right.
But
they have to get in line.
Go ahead, Carol.
No, you finish your sentence. Nonetheless.
I think I did. Go ahead.
I never heard a sentence ending with nonetheless.
It's a nevertheless love. So go ahead.
They have to get the mindset that Sealy had, or Sealy, or whatever her name was, in The Color Purple, when she said, heaven lasts forever. This stuff is
right.
temporary. And we have to remember that the stuff that we're going through, well, I love the fact that he said that we won't remember it anymore. Because he's going to wash the tears away, and the former things won't be remembered. So I'm looking forward to that, because I've got some jacked up memories too. Everybody does. This stuff that we're going through, if we see our fellow man falling and dying, that's not going to be easy to swallow.
No.
And that is something that will put a fear. Like it said, men will be grabbing their hearts and, you know, looking like they're fainting because of what's coming upon the earth. But we have to really, really, this is just not a time, this is like they say, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Let me read some scripture here. I'm sorry, I'm breaking up again. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes,
okay.
We can
hear you. So it says, I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. I'm going to start at 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life. He's given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life. How's that for your face, guys? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we have the ability to do this through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And on those promises, guys, this is where we build our faith, right? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And this is what we're trying to take on, that divine nature, and not the nature that we have. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so, you know, if we start desiring the things of this world, oh my goodness, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So we've got to start to build on our faith. We can't just take a chance on it. We've got to build it, adding knowledge, going into those scriptures and reading it, getting it. And it's an end into knowledge, temperance, learning how to control ourselves, learning how to control ourselves, you know, because if we don't know how to control ourselves, we give in to our lusts. And to temperance, patience. So these are, Deacon Shamal brought this scripture out this weekend, and I said, I got to remember that scripture. And he said, patience, and to patience, godliness, all those things within that order. Let's add that on. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. You know, and so when we can, that kind of faith within us, if we can add those things to our faith, we can endure. We can endure to the end, because the scripture says he's given us all things. He's given everything we need.
Everything.
All right. Sister Betty, go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, it really takes us really renewing our mind. Like I said, we got it. Just keep that word going over and over and over in our mind. Meditating on day and night, noon day and all through the night. Then we can be fully persuaded and not so taken by this world system because, you know, the enemy has a grip. I mean, he's trying to get a grip, you know. That's our way of escape is the word of God.
That's right. Well, I'm going to read Sister Jackie, read verse 10 again.
Jasser, chapter 5, verse 10. But the sons of men would not hearken to them, nor incline their ears to their words, and they were stiff-necked.
So we know what to avoid, right? We got to make sure our necks are not stiff, and we have to hearken unto the word of God. We have to hearken, and hearken doesn't mean just to hear. It means to do.
Adhere
to the word. And there's a funny word here. It says they didn't incline their ears to the words. So, you know, sometimes you got to force yourself to hear something. You got to make yourself hear that word because it goes against our flesh. It goes against our flesh.
It does.
True that.
Remember when we were younger, the boys would say when they didn't want to do something, I ain't trying to hear that.
Exactly. I ain't trying to hear it. I ain't trying to. You know, my kids used to say when they did something wrong, they would say to me, I wasn't trying to do that. And I said, no, I believe that. What you have to do is try not to do it. See, there's a difference in your not trying to, but you got to try not to do those wrong things. That's the hard part.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Betty, Jasher.
Yeah.
Chapter 18.
I haven't been able. You know, I don't have the book.
I put it in your text. You don't see it?
Yeah.
You don't see it in your text? Okay. I'll read it then.
I didn't check.
Okay, that's it for you. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm thankful. Hey, Sister Shirley, I'm thankful you sent the scriptures because I didn't have the book either. I was like, ooh, she's really in the spirit.
That's why I texted it to you. I said, you ain't going to.
But,
you know,
usually I could get it online. Usually I could get it online, but for some reason they're hindering.
Get those hard copies where you can highlight and you can go back and look at it again. Yeah, you got to be able to look at it again.
All right.
So in those, Joshua 18:11-16, in those days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the whole five cities were exceedingly wicked. Now we have moved on to Sodom, okay? And sinful against the Lord. And they provoked the Most High with their abominations, and they strengthened in aging abominably and scornfully before the Lord. And their wickedness and crimes were in those days great before the Most High. And they had in their land... They had in their land a very extensive valley, about a half day's walk. And in it, there were fountains of water and a great deal of herbage surrounding the water. Verse 13, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah went there four times in the year, wives and children and all belonging to them. And they rejoiced there with timbrels and dances. And it don't sound like nothing wrong with that. Don't sound like nothing wrong with that according to this man's army, okay? And in the time of rejoicing, they would all rise and lay hold of their neighbor's wives and some the virgin daughters of their neighbors. And they enjoyed them. And each man saw his wife and daughter in the hands of his neighbor and did not say a word. And they did they did so from morning to night, and they afterward returned home, each man to his house, and each woman to her tent. So they always did 4 times a year. Now, see, this is how you can understand when those angels came down, and they said, "Bring them out here. We need to know them." This is the kind
right.
of stuff they. This is the kind of stuff they do. And then they said, also, when a stranger came into their cities and brought goods which he had purchased with a view to dispose of there, the people of the cities would assemble, men and women and children, young and old, and go to the man and take his goods by force, giving a little to each man until there was an end to all the goods of the owner which he had brought into the land. Now, this is just these people. So it wasn't like the only thing they did was assault those angels, would try to assault the angels, which couldn't have been worse, you know. But this place was full of filth, full of wickedness, because when you start living that kind of life, your mind becomes reprobate. And
yeah.
so you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. So imagine, and you don't have to imagine too far, if this is going on in your backyard. And the scripture said these activities vexed Lot's righteous soul. It vexed his soul. Okay. And so these things are happening. I had, you know, person on my job told me that he wasn't even in the alternative lifestyle, but he told me that him and his girlfriend, wife, whatever, would go to these apartments in Manhattan, in some of the most ritzy neighborhoods that you could think of, and they would go upstairs, and it cost you about $250 to get in, each person, and you got in, and then in every room in the house, anything you could think of was there. Orgies, homosexuality, wife swapping, pornography, children, the whole nine in different rooms in these houses. And this was a good 7-8 years ago that this was going on. Imagine what's going on right now. And the Most High sees this. And so these things are going on around us, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And our children, be careful with them. They're being snatched, you know. So it's just that if you don't have enough faith to see that we need to do something to stay strong in the Lord, look at these scriptures. Because he said, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of time. And here we are. So we can't be like Doubting Thomas and say, you know what, I can't. Or what's that guy saying? I'm waiting till I see the whites of their eyes, you know, before I do something. We're going to have to strengthen our faith. Our faith. Carol.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Pull up Hebrews 11, 1 through 7 right quick.
Okay.
Later.
Hebrews 11, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Ahiah, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto the Most High a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. So before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to the Most High must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I like the part that says that he is.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That he is a rewarder. So we have to believe that he exists, not just on getting a gift. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what and they're saying, right, I just want to say this, is that Noah's being faithful did what? It condemned the world.
Yes.
His faithfulness was showing others where they weren't faithful. And that's why sometimes people get really, really angry with you when they find you doing the Most High's work, right? Now, it don't take all of that. It don't take all of that.
It takes a lot.
That's what they tell you. That's right.
And I want to say that one thing that you just read, you said Noah without seeing, you know, he believed, and that's what got me up. That's what got me up and said, you know what, I better start canning some food. I better start putting away some, because I got like some really bad food put aside, you know, and stuff like that. But you better start making something, putting something, doing something, because without seeing what's going on, the Most High is calling upon us to hear his word and see the signs that are in scripture, hearing the word of the Most High that he told us this stuff is going to happen. When you see these things, like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot, are we there, guys? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You can almost feel the raindrops. You can almost feel the raindrops.
I'll tell you, if we're not there, then have mercy on us, Father, because if this is not the beginning of woes, then I just don't know what to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about, what just came to me, little becomes much. You know, a lot of times I think as believers, we get all this knowledge and we take all these just information in, and we think we deep, but we not applying the knowledge. It's like we just need to start with one scripture and work on that. Some of us are full of the word. We know all the books of the Bible. We know Jasher. We know the book of Enoch, and we just deep.
Yeah.
But we're not putting it into practice. So it's like if we could just chew on a little at a time and make it relevant, make it a lifestyle. You know, we put more of a lifestyle into our regular diet than we do, the word of God, which is life to all of our flesh. But we don't put that same amount of time into the word of God. We even thought ahead of time what we're going to eat for the whole week, chicken, fish, all this, and we put all that in. But when it comes to the word of God, I need to concentrate on less and then make it relevant, put it into practice, like love each other more, like be there for each other, you know, as women.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Yeah. Go ahead, Carol.
By faith, the verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. And I just wonder, will we be ready if the Father says it's time to go?
Exactly, exactly. You know, all these things we built up here, you know, I can, you know, when we look back and we see Lot's wife who turned around, when you read the book of Jasher, you hear, you learn that her daughters were still there because they were part of that. They were part of that. They were part of that gang.
And that's why she looked back.
Yeah, yeah. So if our kids are still here and scripture is telling us to hit the wilderness, will we have strong enough faith to go?
Somebody will have to put a blindfold on me.
This is what I'm saying. This is not simple. It's not simple. Guys, this is serious that we have to build up our faith to the point where we can walk away from our family.
Yeah.
Or all these worldly things that we have. And these worldly things.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you look at your house and you think about somebody else is going to be strutting around in there.
Yeah. Who didn't?
I was thinking about Peter when Christ was telling him, look, you're going to betray me. You know that, right? I would never do that. He was strong right there until that sucker hit. And he realized that he might be up on a cross in a few minutes if he don't shut his mouth. He's going to get out of here. You know.
He did not agree.
And to the point where he was cussing, man. Get off of me, man.
You know, and that cussing probably made him look like, I'm really part of this world. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with that so-called righteous man. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And if Peter's faith could be challenged like that and he walked with Christ, what kind of challenges are we going to have?
Okay.
Will we be able to stand? You know, because our very lives can depend upon it.
You know what, Charles? Guys, think about it. When it says you won't be able to buy or sell it without having the mark, whatever that is, they could compound and say, even us poor folks that are on Social Security, well, you got to get this or we can't send you your Social Security money.
I thought about that too.
If the mark ends up being like a tattoo where you have to put your arm on top of something and show that you know, where your number and stuff, well, look, ma'am, if you don't have that, I don't know. There's no banks that are receiving things. This is your identification. If you don't want to take it, then I don't know how you're going to get your money. What will we do?
You know, and that's a good question, because when you challenge people where you can't feed your kids, your job is out of here if you don't do X, Y, and Z, or you can't, and some of us are being challenged right now, and I'm not saying that the shot is the mark of the beast, but it certainly is an exercise in faith, that's for sure, because when they're saying to you, you are out of work, and I commend these people that have the strength to walk off their job, because you know what? A few years ago, when I was a big shot, I was making serious money. It would have been very hard for me to walk away from that job because you lose the real concept. I've heard people say, you know, God wouldn't want you to do that. I'm gonna tell you right now. A brother came to me and said to me, now, you know, don't get like those Jehovah's Witnesses, because where you don't want to take a blood transfusion, because God is about life. He's not about death. And so just like with the vaccine, he's about life and he's about trying to help you live. So go with that. Understand that. And I'm like, well, what are you saying, brother? You know, because that means like if we get challenged, that we step outside of what the spirit is telling us just to do because we can't get a job or our life is challenged. Christ already told us our life is going to be challenged. He said they're going to kill you.
That's right.
What he said. He said we are going to be killed. And I didn't pull that scripture up yet. But what I'm saying is that it's not going to be simple for us. And if we're being challenged for groceries and we can't give that up, when our life is at stake or someone, our children's lives are at stake, will we be able to stand that? I don't want that challenge, but what can we do? This is where we are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So true.
He's given us edible herbs. We got to start to discover all that in nature that he's provided. He's already provided.
Right.
Believe that. We got to believe it.
Yeah.
And the flesh is a no good thing. It's weak. And we are not going to die if we eat less. We're going to be feeling much better.
Well, I think we all...
Okay, Carol, I'm sorry.
No, you were answering Sister Betty. Please do.
No, I wasn't. I was going somewhere else. Go ahead.
I was watching this thing on this black guy, and he was popping a whole lot of foolishness. Said he ain't eaten over a year. He's a breatharian. So he lives off of air. I think we all better start reading up on breatharian.
I've heard about it. I've heard about it, but I can't even imagine it. He's got some serious faith in something. And
yeah,
he
meditates all the time. That's what he spends his time doing. But he didn't mention the Most High. He just says meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that scares me because what are you meditating on?
Yeah, child,
you know,
something else could be keeping you alive.
And we don't know when he goes into these trances, what is he doing? Because he could be secretly eating in these trances. We don't know what he's doing.
Right.
You know,
he told you. You don't really know. You've been with somebody. I could tell you anything, but am I doing it? You know?
Exactly. He said he lives off of straight up energy. He says he's not drinking and he's not eating.
He's smoking.
The gurus.
Yeah.
They practice that behavior. They practice that.
Yeah, they say that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but see, and we don't know what they're dealing with. Like she said, those spirits, maybe they're bringing them something. I don't know.
Yeah,
and guess what? The scripture says don't even ask about how
don't
these people worship
ask.
Their gods. You know?
Think about it. Remember the ravens was bringing, who was that, Elijah food?
Elijah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe the ravens are bringing in food. I don't know what's going on with brother.
Yeah,
eat or drink. We don't know.
But listen up. And if we can trust that, but you know what? We're going to be tested to the point that some of us are going to literally be without food for a few days.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to, because, you know, it's like we can't run through these tests and until we're at the brink of breaking. And some of us will go into eternity because
you look at
the disciples and what they went through, you know. And okay, here's another one with the faith. Elijah, a few days before, calling down fire from heaven and showing everybody that God is God, running from Jezebel a couple of days after that. Running.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You're
scared.
Even you can, yeah. And I want to say that when you say scared, what about fear? What about fear when it comes in? Being afraid can make you do things. The scripture says fear. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 18. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 18. Somebody get that. 1 John 4:18. Who got that? Who got that?
I have it.
Okay. 4:18.
4:18. Okay. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment.
Fear is not made perfect
in love.
Well, stop right there, because when you are fearing, and that's why, you know, you running from Jezebel, you're tormented. You know, it's like you can almost see the boots on the ground and them coming to get us. That's kind of fear. That's fear.
Yeah, but when you think about closing your eyes and waking up in hellfire, you're gonna stand.
That's another kind of
fear.
Sister Jackie, pull up 2 Timothy 1:17, because this is true. But you see, fear. So what about fear, though? If we are in fear, have we lost our faith? You know, have we lost our faith if we're in fear, if we're afraid? You know, because it's not simple, yet it's very simple. Have
if we do like Sarah, remember, it wasn't that she feared. She said, look, I know what God is saying is true, but I'm going to have to give him a little help. You know, what he's telling me can't possibly happen. So, you know how you're in church and you hear about the Helping Hands Club. Well, she just joined right away and gave herself a husband, a woman to have this baby with, regretting everything that she did, because look at the turmoil that she's put us in because of her. Oh, God can't hands. It's too big for God. Let me, give my hand. Yeah.
And it's so funny because they always talk about, the men always talk about us being Sarah's daughters. Yeah, well, guess what? We are. And guess what, too? We're always looking for ways to help out our husbands and be that help me. And sometimes we come up with the wrong answer. And guess what? And it's your job, husband, to say, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not a good plan.
But instead, what did Abraham do?
What did Adam do? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Both of them out there, and then start blaming women for it. You know?
Our hearts, at least with Sarah, her heart was in the right place. But she was afraid. She feared.
Yeah.
She feared. Just
but she had courage.
No.
But she wait, she feared that. Wait a minute. Okay, we're going to go there. She had fear that she was in the way of the plan of the Most High God, because she no longer could bear children. And she was in fear over that. And so when we get in fear, we don't have enough food to feed our children.
Yes.
Are we heading out there to take whatever they got for us to mark so that we can feed them and make up something in our mind, maybe we're going
to
go out and steal.
What we're doing. And wait, you know what, Cheryl? Listen, none of us can say things like, oh, I would never. You just don't know. You better pray to the Father that he gives you the strength to figure this thing out, that you have faith, because everybody has a certain amount of faith. One man may have more than another. And the scriptures tell us to be careful how we stand lest we fall, right? I would never do that. No, you don't know. So you get in that predicament.
You know, because let me tell you something. Fear is a very unpleasant emotion.
It is.
But it's usually caused by a belief in something that is dangerous or likely to cause death, usually, you know, or
yeah.
cause of, you know, something that we can't handle. But sometimes
yeah.
fear is good. Sometimes fear can be good. Fear, like Sister Betty brought out.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of going to hell. I'm not interested in going there. You know?
Right.
The fear of the Lord, which is only the beginning of wisdom. So fear sometimes works on our behalf. Fear that tells us, don't go over there. You know, when there's
mm-hmm.
something that can hurt you. Maybe not go talk to this person or that person. Don't you know you get those inner feelings inside of your flesh
mm-hmm.
that tell you yeah. not to go where you're almost in a panic and you don't know why? I remember, Carol, mm-hmm. when we were children, and we talked about this before, when we go in that store that sold those Halloween costumes.
Oh, my
and
God.
The moment we stepped in there, we were children and didn't know anything about any of this. But when we walked in that store, there was a feeling in that store that we feared. We
but
were afraid of
every year to get that same witch costume.
Yeah, we'd go in there and buy it because it was inexpensive. And
mm-hmm.
Mommy and Daddy wasn't giving us no more money to do anything else. But in that big green,
face
wig, ugly as witch face you ever saw. But there was something, the three of us, the three sisters would go in there, and we were trembling when we would go in there because there was something for us to fear in there. And they were burning. Yeah, they were burning some kind of incense and stuff
they
like that.
They had tarot cards.
Yes,
they had
tarot cards,
all kinds of candles. We didn't know what those things were. But we knew this is not of God. This is not. We knew something was wrong in that store.
Look,
and strange
you know,
looking. And I know I was only 5 and 6 years old. I know that
right.
was scaring the life out of me.
And I was between 7 and 8. What did I know? But see, the fear of the Lord was there for us. And you know,
yeah.
Webster, I believe it is, it says, It drives our lives. We lose soundness of mind when we're in fear. It creates
yeah.
phobias, you know? And so, you know, like, hey, it's within our emotion, and especially in women. And I'm sure men have fears also. They might contain it better than we do because I tell you, sometimes when you become afraid, you lose control of your vessel. And we
right.
talked about that before when we said add to it virtue, add to it temperance, getting in control of your vessel, slowing it down and trying to figure out, wait a minute, what exactly is happening here that we don't let fear drive us because it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will. And then sometimes you get like where you have someone that's so afraid that car ran over their child and they get that adrenaline rush and a woman can actually lift up a child. I mean, a car. You know,
uh-huh.
with that kind of fear inside of them. And so, you know, if this fear thing is, it's kind of weird because even animals can sense the fear when we have it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
and you know, people say that acronym is, you know, false evidence appearing real. I don't really buy that acronym.
No,
because
no.
the evidence may not be false. Mm.
Exactly.
And
but
they
you
may
see, what
be
we,
real.
This is where
you know,
what
they're
faith.
Saying, you're feeling, it may be real. It may
yeah,
not be
yeah.
false.
But you see, that faith that exists in our spirit, we have to keep that faith, Carol. And
yeah.
when we can have that faith where we believe in our hearts, and so, and not just in our minds, but we believe in our heart, you know what I'm saying? Where we, and not waver. And I'm not, when I say not in our mind, I'm saying like when you don't have that, you know, he's like, was it Simeon? He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. because we do believe, but we don't at the same time. You know,
that's right.
Our strength is so weak, and we have to pull down on that strength. And I'm going to say this too, and I'll probably get in trouble for it, but if you have a piece of man at home right now, fall in line with him as best you can. Because as these days get more troublesome, you're going to need that man by your side to help you to be that strength that you're going to need. Because they have something more than we have when it comes down to not being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They have something. Say that
their
again.
Their emotions don't feed them in most cases.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
Exactly.
And their physical strength. And they know they're physically strong.
And their ego falls into place. And that's one of the reasons, too. You don't want to try and beat a man down where he doesn't believe in himself, even. You're going to need the strength of a man who believes mm-hmm. in the Most High, who believes in himself, who believes that he, you know, who's going to want to take care of you. Because if you are a tyrant out there and an annoyance, you know, it might become every man for himself in a situation like that. You that bad. Haven't you seen it? No, truthfully, haven't you seen it in the store where some of us will stand up in front of the husband and tell the storekeeper off? And, you know, because you didn't, I've seen it a million times. You're going to step out in front and let that storekeeper know. And I've seen the man stand behind her and let her go ahead on and do that. I don't know what she'd do if he stopped her. But that don't need to be us.
No, it doesn't.
We need to have the sense to get behind our man, because that's where the strength really is.
We need to believe in our man as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. And it's not that easy either, because there are other mitigating circumstances that may be going on in your home. But take God at his word. You know,
yes.
Come on.
Let him handle your man. You handle you. You know,
yes,
you know, this is what I'm saying. That's where our faith has to be strengthened, where you handle you, get you in shape. Get you where you're beautiful. Because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, when a man comes downstairs, I remember even with my first husband, when he was coming down the stairs, and I was about finished. I was on my knees praying before I walked out the door. And he saw me, and something changed about him when he saw me praying. You know, I'm not sure what he was getting ready to do, but he turned back around and went back up the stairs. And I was grateful because, you know, I didn't have no money to give him. But nonetheless, all I'm saying is that let God handle that man.
Yeah, it works. I'm telling you.
He can handle our situations. And then, like us, let's be like the Hebrew boys. When he said, our God is able to keep us from burning in that fire. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your idols. That's where we got to go. That's where our faith
has
to be. And in our homes is the toughest arena.
It is.
To test our faith on.
Testing our faith.
So how can we strengthen that faith? Guess what? We've got to really believe in the Most High, like those Hebrew boys. Can you say you believe like that?
Mm.
Can you say that if they were getting ready to throw us in the fire that you would not bow down to those idols? Right now, I believe I wouldn't. But we say that, and we're sitting in our own homes, and we can't even stop snapping back when someone
Come
says
on
something
now.
To us.
Come on now. You can say that again.
You know?
Yep.
But we ain't going to jump in the fire. And nevertheless, yep. Our faith is being tested right there.
Yeah.
Our faith is being tested. And we're failing the test. Let's get that under control right now. And that was one of the things Elder Gabar was talking about. Why are we out of order with that we can't even keep ourselves in order with that, something that simple? Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Because we are going to have to, like you said earlier, Sister Jackie, let our minds be, what's the scripture, Jackie? Where your mind, you have to get your mind in shape. Come on, everybody knows the scripture, and I can't find it right now.
Let this mind be in you.
Not that one. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Okay.
We have to renew our minds to realize, to believe that strong that we can go through the fire and that God is able to protect us. We have to believe it to that extent.
Yes.
When I had that when I was sick, let me tell you something, that was a challenge. But you know, it's like, and I had to say, like those Hebrew boys, nevertheless, whether you save me or whether you don't, Father, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know?
Amen.
I still want to be here. You know? But there wasn't anything challenging me that, you know, get up and go take the shot. No, it wasn't to that extreme, but we are going there. We're on our way to those kinds of challenges. Like,
and
you know,
I was gonna, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to say that the bad part is that on the news, they're always showing these people who are getting ready to die saying, I just wish I would have taken that shot.
Yeah.
They're always showing that, and it makes you get scared. Like, oh man, you know.
See, because you know what, walking by faith doesn't mean that fear is not going to come. It doesn't mean it's absent. It's going to come, and that's where the challenge comes in at. If you get some fear, but those three Hebrew boys, apparently, they didn't seem to be afraid. They went into the fire. They just said, okay, throw us in. And okay, let's talk about that, because you know, with our faith challenged like that, you know, we do believe in the Most High. And none of us wanna say deny Christ. We might be able to stand for that. We might, as far as denying Christ. But it's these little foxes where we fail.
Uh-huh.
These little foxes where we, no food, no clothing, no water.
Your house is being repossessed.
There you go. It's these little, you know what? There's a scripture here. I have to find it. I think it's in Romans chapter 5, I think. Let me just go there. It's amazing, because if we can't figure this out, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm going to see if that's it, and if not, I'm going to tell y'all to go ahead on and continue talking. I don't know.
What's the scripture about?
Not getting entangled with the things of this world. That if we are walking with the Most High, that we should, we can't let ourselves get entangled with the things of this world, because this is what causes us to fall. Now, I'm trying to find it, but I can't. But go ahead on. We could continue, and I'll look for that scripture, because it's really a powerful scripture. But we need to just go ahead and endure hardness. So, but we, why don't some of the callers call in? We'd like to hear from you. And I'm going to bring in a caller. I see a caller. Press 1, get in the host queue, and tell us how we can add to this faith. And how strong are you? Do you have the faith necessary to run this race, to endure through the end? Press 1, get into the host queue, and let us know if you have that kind of faith. Tell us how you cultivate it, if you think you have it. Because I'm going to tell you one thing, it says watch what you say lest you be tested, because you are going to be tested. And I saw, I looked at, when I was reading the book of Jasher, it talked about how, what's that boy's name? Isaac said, if I had to be sacrificed, I would trust the Most High to that point without wavering. Okay. Okay. You know. You know, arguing with Ishmael. You know, and that's why we need to avoid all them kind of arguments, because look out, look out, look out. Okay.
Cheryl, were you looking at 2 Timothy 2:4 that says, no man that warreth entangleth himself for the affairs of this life.
Back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. 2 Timothy 2. Back up a little and read that.
2, and I'll start at 1. Okay. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ, Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to a faithful man, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yeshua Christ.
As a good soldier, we have to endure hardness because we're at war. And this stuff is getting ready to happen to us. So what does that mean, endure? Endure.
Mm-hmm.
Stay the course. And what is hardness? Because when there's no food in that refrigerator, has there ever been a time for us spoiled Americans when there was no food in the refrigerator? Maybe for you guys. But has there ever been a time, and I'd like for some of the callers to press 1, let us know if you've ever had a time where there was no food and you didn't know where it was, the next meal was coming from. Press 1, get into the host queue. Tell us what it felt like. Tell us, will we have the faith once there's no food in the refrigerator? Because I'm going to tell you, you know, there's a scripture that talks about people whose God is their belly. You know,
that's the truth anyhow. So it really is.
Go ahead and read that scripture, and I'm going to bring a caller in. Go ahead. Hang on, Jackie. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please who have chosen him.
Okay, hold up. No man that warreth. And I tell you, I got to thank Deacon Shamal, because he brought these scriptures out and brought them more to life. No man that warreth, we are at war. We are at war.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just the flesh and the spirit. But in this tribulation, we are definitely at war. Read the rest of that. Read the rest of that, Carol.
Did you say we? Okay. Yeah. No man that
that
warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that
hold
he
on.
May
the,
prove
wait, wait, wait. Hold up. With the affairs of this life. Now, how many phone calls do we get where everybody, these people are tied up in the affairs of this life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband, he's not doing this. You know, he needs to get up and get a job. I don't need to go to work because it's in the affairs of this life.
Uh-huh.
Entangled in it. Entangled.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot focus on war if we're entangled in the things of this world.
That's right.
If our mind is so much on, well, let me see, what can we eat? We gotta get some food in here. We really have to learn how to let that go, because the scripture says that Christ knows what we need to eat, what we need to drink, that we need food, that we need clothes. And he said these are the things that the Gentiles worry about. But if we're tied up and entangled with the things of this world, we cannot focus on building our faith. We can't.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Read the rest of
that. And, you know, truth is, a lot of people are dealing with lack of food and drink. And they
this
are complaining, true. You know. So if they learn to relax, they will see that they are good. With little that they have, that they still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good.
Yeah.
Because there are people who don't have jobs, who don't have money. Some people
that's
are dependent on the public assistance, and that's just their little. And so many people are without food in their homes.
This is true. Finish reading that scripture, and then I'm going to bring a call.
No man that war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Chosen. Chosen. Few. of the few. Hey, the few, the proud, the Marines. You know, we are the few.
We are. The few, but
and
the
we
mighty.
We are a chosen few. And if we entangle ourselves in this world's mess, I'm telling you, we're going to have to learn how to let anything that's bothering us go.
So,
anything. We should not be getting phone calls now about offenses. Somebody offended me in the church. We shouldn't be getting that. Entangled in the things of this world. Well, you know, she acted like she walked past me and she acted like she didn't see me. We have to get out of that. We have to pull past that. And if you're the kind of person that's walking past people, not speaking, look, it's too easy. Speak. Hi.
Right.
Hang on. Look. Is that it, Carol?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I'm going to bring in a caller. Okay, we got some callers. Say what, honey?
Sister Shirley, I just want to throw this out there. As it relates to us not having enough food, it goes back to the scriptures. It tells us, man, woman, we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word.
Maybe we need to go back to the scripture.
We got to renew our mind constantly.
Maybe we need to put some Bibles in the refrigerator. Put some Bibles in the refrigerator.
I love it.
Oh, we go open up the refrigerator. There you go. Eat up.
I love that.
Hang on, guys. Area code 646. Area code 646. You're on with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom.
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 How are you?
It's Sister Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
I'm doing very well.
All is well.
Shalom.
Well.
So, So it made me want to hit the one button is the question, like, if anyone feels like their faith is there. And I don't want to necessarily say my faith is there because I don't know what situation I could be in and fold or be tempted to fold. But I just wanted to just mention something that has strengthened my faith. So before I was in the truth, I had no faith because I was actually atheist. I did not believe in God at all.
Wow.
I believed it was just made up. It was a fairy tale. You just grow up believing whatever your parents tell you. And then I kind of had an epiphany when I was 18, just around witchcraft and how science really can't explain it. So it really led me on my path to look for the Most High and look for the truth. So praise the Most High, I found the truth. And so that led me on my journey of faith. And I can say in my entire life, I cannot think of one time that I ever prayed to the Most High for something and I didn't get it. Whether if it was a question, if it was even little things, like I have prayed for, like, this may sound kind of silly, but to increase my faith, one time I prayed, like, Most High, please let somebody offer me coffee today. And I had the faith. I tried to just not question it, not doubt it, and just for the purpose of increasing my faith. Surely enough, I was at the Shabbat, and somebody that has never offered me coffee was like, do you want some coffee? And I don't even think I look tired. And then I remember one time, sometimes I'll visit the street preachers. So I was at the street preach the night before, and then in the morning, I was so tired, I forgot to move my car. But where I live, I'm in the area of where the towing trucks are. So they're, like, punctual, they're on time, and I park there every day. So it's from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. that you're not supposed to park there. By the time I woke up, it was already, like, 8:45 a.m. By the time I got there, it was, like, 9 or something. And then, but before I left my house, I just prayed. And there's a lesson that Hazak from Brooklyn gave that I always remember. And he said, sorry, I'm speaking really fast. But he said, for you to make sure that you have faith, make sure that you don't have any of these four things. Fear, doubt, worry, or unbelief. So I did the mental checklist in my head. All right, fear, doubt, worry, unbelief. And I try to make sure as much as possible I didn't have any of those things. Because I'm technically praying for something that doesn't make sense. Like, I know that they come every day at the same time, and I'm coming past the time. Technically, I should have already gotten the ticket. But I prayed with so much faith, and I was, like, Most High. Like, I was at the street preach last night. Please don't let me get this ticket. When I showed up to present my car, this random man I have never met in my life, I've never seen him, said, ma'am, is this your car? And I was like, yes. He said, I got the ticket for you. He said, wow. I told the ticket person that your car was my car and my car was also my car, that I have two cars and should just only give me one ticket on my truck.
Look at that. Look at that. Well, I tell you, that's some serious stuff right there. But, you know, and you're going to keep that faith. Keep that faith. You know, it's like a childlike faith. And that's the way scripture said we have to have it. Where, you know, you tell children, that's why we got to be so careful that we don't tell children fairy tales and stuff like that, because they believe. It's so easy for a child to believe something. We need the science. We need the physics on it. We need to know how many other people know this as true, you know, and all of that, and all these things keep ringing in our mind, because the scriptures that have stood the test of time, sometimes we question. Sometimes, and we may not question it out loud, but in our actions we question it by not doing what the Most High said do. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. You know, if you do this, I'll bless your going, your coming in and your going out. We don't believe that. We don't believe it. Father, strengthen our faith, Lord. Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. Help us to get that. Thank you for that, Sister Jenny. that we can.
Thank you
and
so
you
much.
Said,
there's one other thing I wanted to share.
Okay, I'm going to let you share that. But he said, you know what? Don't feel like any of that's foolish, because he said, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and I will direct your path. So none of that's silly. That's not silly. So go ahead, sis.
Con. So the last thing that I wanted to share is, so about my, I want to say like a year and a half into me being into the truth, I went and I studied abroad in Chile. So I was there for like 5 months by myself, 4 or 5 months. And if I'm being honest, I transgressed against the Most High prior to leaving. And it was just, I just felt like this weight on me, like I'm not going to make it. I can't make it. The Most High is not hearing my prayers. And I was really in a low state. But I continued to pray, and I continued to ask Yeshua to just forgive me, to deal with me, and just to be with me. And I remember one time I just prayed, and I was like, I just needed to know that the Most High was hearing me. So I prayed, and I was like, Most High, if you are hearing this prayer, I want to meet an angel today. And I just prayed it with so much faith, and I just needed to know the Most High was still dealing with me. So that was my way of asking.
Amen.
So I was there all day long. I was looking around. I was just looking around. I was excited. I couldn't wait. I was looking. And just as the day was ending, I met, mind you, Chile is a very white country. And I met this dark-skinned man. And we ended up having this long conversation. And at one point, I remember he just looked at me. He looked me, like, deep in my eyes. And he was like, do you believe in angels? And I was like, what the heck is happening here? He's like, this man told me, I'm going to give you the name of an angel that no one knows the name of this angel. And he ended up telling me all these different things that would happen in my life. And for me, it was just that I just knew the Most High. Whether this man was an angel or not, the Most High gave me the message in that moment that he had heard me. And the way it happened is just, could not have been a coincidence.
Wow. So you feel like, so your faith is pretty strong. So that's a good thing to have those kind of experiences.
Well, it is.
Most of us may not have that kind of experience, but I know that when I'm going through something and I'm like a scatterbrain, I panic. I don't know what's going on, and I may be walking upright and look like I got it all together, but in my head it's like a lot of stuff going on. And then finally I'll fall to my knees, and when tears come to my eyes, Most High has answered. He answers. You know what I'm saying? I remember being in my office, and I mean, this may sound ridiculous too, but when I could not find this document that I really had to find, it was so much money was dependent upon it, and I had to locate it. Wasn't my money, but anyway, I just broke down and I just cried. I said, God, I don't understand why I can't find this. And then I went into this attorney's office. My spirit led me there, and I looked, and I just stood there for a few minutes. And I told her, I said, pull that table away from the wall. Right behind the cabinet, the folder had slipped behind her cabinet. It was right back there. Now, how did I know that? The spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord just said, the folder fell behind that cabinet. And there it was, and she was like, wait a minute, you know. And I just walked out of there, and I just said, you know, that had to be God. I don't even know what that was.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
Yeah. Mm. But nonetheless, he hears our cry over even simple things. Over simple things. When our soul is assaulted, we are his children. He said it's like when he touched the apple of his eye. When you ever get something in your eye, it could be the tiniest little piece of string off your lint you know, and your eye, it'll aggravate you and aggravate you until you get that out of your eye. That's what the Most High is talking about. When we're in trouble and we are walking in his word and we are his children, we are like as if something touched the apple of his eye. That's the kind of faith we have, to realize that the Most High hears us. And then there's Christ, who has not been, who has been, we have this adversary who we know has been touched by the same things, worse. So thank you, sister. I appreciate that. I'm going to bring another caller in. Are you done?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I'll put you back in.
And Cheryl, you didn't mean an you didn't mean an adversary. You meant an advocate.
You know me in English, you know. That's what I meant. I thank you for fixing that, because, you know, help us, Father. And, you know, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, and I mess up. I'm really a scatterbrain. I don't even know how I ever got such a good job in my life. But let me bring in area code 512. Area code 512, you're on with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, shalom.
Sister, how are you?
I'm well. It's Sister Diane from Killeen, Texas, for those of you who do not know me. I have three scriptures.
Okay.
So get ready for me, right? Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are you telling us to read them for you?
Oh, I'm asking, please.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us the scripture. And I just want to say that, you know, it's because she does not have any sight, but go right ahead, sister.
Yes. So Hebrews, Proverbs, and Revelations.
So let's get Hebrews first.
Okay.
Hebrews.
Well, somebody
what?
Gets. Well, you get Hebrews, Carol. What's the other scriptures? Let's get all the scriptures. Sister Jackie, you get the Proverbs, and Sister Betty, you get Revelations. Okay.
Okay, but we need to know where at in these books. So Hebrews, what?
That's what I said.
Hebrews 11:6.
All right.
Okay. Proverbs, what?
Really.
Proverbs
what, Sister Diane?
3:26.
Okay. And what's the other one? Revelation?
Revelation.
12:11.
Revelation?
Yes.
12:11.
12:11. All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
So
here's
Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Impossible.
But he
impossible.
That cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes, yes. We were talking about that earlier today, sister. Go ahead.
And so my comment about that is, without faith, it's impossible to please the Most High, Ahaya. So we have to start that foundation of faith, just like all of you have been talking about since the start of the show. And
amen.
We need to diligently seek him and believe that he is a rewarder.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we are diligently seeking him. He is a rewarder. So then the next scripture is Proverbs 3:26.
It says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
That's it?
That's 26,
My version is taken, but I think it's pretty much the same thing. So, I mean, it's the Lord is our confidence. So no matter what happens, if we just hold on to that and say he's our confidence, we can't have confidence in ourselves. Because if we do, we're doomed from the start. And then the last scripture is Revelation 11:12.
Okay. 11:12?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's 12.
You meant 12. Yeah.
I'm sorry. 12:11. I'm so sorry.
12:11?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they overcame him. Is that it?
Yes.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved not their lives unto the death.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Yes.
The three components. The one that really hits home, I think, it's I mean, I don't have children yet, but I think it's difficult that we all have to realize and even teach our children that we need to do that third thing. We need to not love our lives. I mean,
yes,
all the way it means death.
Yes.
And so that's hard. But if we can grasp that and realize that third component, then it won't matter if the powers that they take money from us or whatever they take, because we won't love our lives to the point where we're trying to hold on to them for dear life.
It's very true.
If we gain our life, we're going to lose it anyway. So, I mean,
you're going in and out. It's really bad. But sister, that scripture, that last scripture that you read, and definitely those three components, but that last scripture where we don't love our lives, I'm telling you, because it's the sting of death that causes us to fear most of the time. And
that's
I don't know where she went, but that was wonderful. Okay?
That was.
All praises to the Most High. I don't hear you anymore, Diane, but I'm going to put you back in the queue.
Okay.
That was wonderful. And she's the one that gave us, now you just heard her just now, but she's the one that gave us the scriptures on, you know, what I read earlier today. But let me bring in another caller, unless you have guys have a commentary. But I'm going to tell you, that last scripture, loving our lives, you know, where we're so worried about, and it's not easy. Because when Christ was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't simple back then. And so what he did was he spent so much time in prayer with the Father that that helped him go do what he had to do. So that's what we've got to do. Build up our faith and spend that time with the Most High until the sting of death is not part of our repertoire of thoughts. Yeah, we have an advocate.
Right.
I keep remembering that, you know. All right, I'm going to bring in area code 804. Area code 804, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, Sister Tamika.
Shalom.
Sister, how are you?
I'm doing blessed. I just want to say I'm so thankful. I'm so sorry. My 9-month-old is wide awake. But just real quick, I just want to be brief. This lesson has been a blessing. All of them are a blessing to me, but particularly this one talking about faith. I know my faith has been tested many times, and just a quick testimony. I've never, like, been without food where it was, like, you know, I mean, of course, I've, you know, purposely been without food fasting, but I'm talking about as far as, like, suffering in that aspect. But I have been without a home for 6 months and a shelter with my daughter 3 or 4 years ago. And during that time, I knew, in a way, I was being chastised, but I also at times wanted to give up, but it's like I was being tested in ways where my grandmother even offered to, like, help me financially to get me out of there. But for some reason, I just felt like I needed to be there. Like, I needed to stick it out. Like, the Most High was trying to show me something. Like, I needed to endure it. And so I thank the Most High that I did, because if I wouldn't have, there's no telling where I would be. But I guess all I just have to say, to sum it up, I'm just saying that basically I know what it feels like to want to give up. But how I got through it was I just prayed as much as I could. And it was times where I would be up all night crying, but just with prayer and with fasting is how I was able to get through that hard time without giving in. And I'm just really thankful for that. And what you said earlier about Hebrews 11:1 with, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That was one of the scriptures that I memorized, like, when I first came into the knowledge of the truth back in 2016. I wasn't, like, fully following the truth at the time, but I had knowledge of it, and I was fellowshipping in Virginia, but I wasn't quite serious about it. But when I moved to South Carolina is when I became serious about it, you know, and I just really thank the Most High just for giving me the strength to keep the faith. So all praise to the Most High.
All praises, holy name. Thank you for that, sis. I'm going to put you back in the queue. And you got that 9-month-old baby. Help yourself, okay? Bless you with that baby. That's a lot of work. Hang on, sis.
It sure is.
A lot of it.
Thank you. All right, Cheryl. I wanted to read really quickly James 2:14.
I got another call.
Maybe you ought to let the caller just come on in, because this is a
and you can read it.
Long.
Okay, I'll bring in the caller, and then I'll... Okay, area code 646, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, how you doing?
Okay, how about you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Shalom, just wanted to add something to it. I don't know if anybody read this earlier, but did anybody read Revelation 21:8?
I don't think so, but go ahead, sis.
Okay, if you read Revelation 21:8, it tells you, the first word that says, the fearful and unbelief, it tells you that they all going to share in the brimstone, the fire. Because when you're fearful, but you know what? I said that to say this, like, if you're fearful, that means you don't have faith. Now, it's a difference between being fearful. To me, it's a difference between being fearful and scared. I don't think the Most High doesn't expect us to be afraid or scared, because that happens, because you're human. But remember, when you're fearful, it paralyzes you. That's the difference. And you make decisions that's not sane, you know, but you might be scared. I've been scared. But when you're fearful, you can't move. And I know the Most High is building me, because, you know, right now, I tell you, like, even what's going on, taking a stand with your livelihood, which I did, you wouldn't believe the help that's been coming out of nowhere, where I didn't even know it was going to come. It was unexpected. You know, I had someone just, like, even after Shabbat, you know, I wanted to get some food, and actually, I didn't even have much, but I was going to buy this person food. I didn't even know they was planning the whole time of feeding me for dinner and bought my food. You know, it's like little things like that the Most High, and I praise Him for it, and I thank Him for it, you know, because, you know, it's those little things that you praise Him for. It's a big deal, because if you praise Him for little things, He's going to bless you with more. He's been taking care of me so far, you know. And, you know,
and
I have people
you
that
had to
call
leave
me.
Your job, right.
Absolutely. I had to leave my job. Yeah. And I got my last check last week, and it wasn't a full check. They only paid me for 4 days out of 10, you know. I got through October, so now it's time to get through November. But I know He's going to work it out. He's going to, because if you focus on Him, He's going to show up and show out for you in ways that you don't even expect it. He's been doing this for me since I lost my job. Things been coming out of nowhere where I've been getting help. I got you on this, this, and that. And I wasn't even expecting it. But people see, and another thing too, the last thing I'm going to say, people watch your reactions more than what you say. Because
that's right.
Sometimes with people, they may not read the scriptures, but you might be that walking Bible for them.
That's
you know,
right.
When they see how you handle things, how
yes,
you move forward,
yes.
It gives them encouragement to move forward.
What
you
a
know?
Blessing, sister.
And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, sister. Shalom.
Thank you, sweetie. That was really beautiful.
You're welcome.
You know, and see, these things are being, we're being challenged. We're being challenged. She had to walk off her job because, you know, her belief was that she should not take the shot, and she decided, you know, I'm going to
leave
and God will take care of me. And so, you know, I'm glad I didn't have that kind of challenge. But I got a sister here that says, Sister Shirley, when I was in the hospital, all I had was faith. I was by myself and no one else to fight for my rights. But the Most High, we need to remember whom our Father is and know that He is just and true to His word. In my hospital room, I had prayer each morning at 6 a.m. There will be no blood be taken before take time. Must be that time. They wouldn't come in that room before 6 o'clock. Most of us have a testimony where the Most High has showed up for us and pulled us up out of a situation, yet we still lack faith. And she's right about that. Look at our brothers and sisters Israel, who they brought out of Egypt through all that stuff, through all those plagues, and yet they were in the wilderness 5 minutes. Before they were dancing around a cow.
Yeah.
She said one last thing. I had to be strong and not waver from his word. He called us and we answered. Faith as small as a mustard seed. And I tell you, you know, it's a blessing. It is an absolute blessing. But we're going to have to be stronger than our predecessors. We're going to because we're going to go through more than they went through. So all I can say is get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Carol, read that scripture, and then we're going to, you know, we're at the bottom of the hour, so go ahead and read that scripture.
All right, James 2, starting at the 14th verse. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart and be in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I love that. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called friend of God. You see? Then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Mm-hmm. We got work to do, guys. That's what that means. We've got work to do. We've got to prove our faith to the Most High. And through proving, through our work, we are going to be tested. Because untried faith, untested faith, is no faith at all. So we are, let me tell you something, it's a little, it's scary to me. It's scary. But, hey, I have to stay the course because, like Sister Betty said, we're most scared of hell. I ain't going there. I don't want to go there. And I want to know, I want to know that, first of all, the Most High is the giver and the taker of life. And I want to know that he'll say to me, when I do leave this world, that I'll be with him and not wherever else that other place is. I don't even want to know about it. I want to be with the Most High because he's been my joy in the time of sorrow. He's been faithful. He's been there for me all my life.
Yes. Yes.
Why would I want to be anywhere else? And so I've got to strive to be there, to be with him. And we all do. We all are going to have to strive to make sure we make that mark. All right. It's 9:30. Carol, can you pray us out really quick? Because we're getting ready to shut down.
All right. Gracious Eternal Father, as always, we thank you. We thank you tonight for showing up, Father. This was a beautiful, beautiful conversation.
Oh, my God. Give
us the strength and the faith that our works will show exactly what you've asked us to do, that we may stay strong in the day of tribulation and trial, Father. We pray. Mm-hmm. Continue to give us strength and bless everybody that's listening on this program. We ask for all these blessings in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody have a wonderful night, all right? All praises to his holy name.
Okay.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.